Father, again we celebrate. We see you in the reality of the weather. You, all things work out for the good, and we want to thank you for what you are doing in the lives of our country, what you are doing in our own personal lives. We want to thank you what you're doing in your family throughout this the world, and we thank you. Father, we want to thank you for the revelation, the truth that your Spirit is busy opening up to the body of Christ, that we are able to step into more and more of the reality of this truth, to live in it, and to be able to really be involved with the works that you're wanting to do so that you are glorified in your Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you for this morning again as you share with us, as you draw us deeper into the reality of your love, as you draw us deeper into the reality of you in your Son, and the joy of us being partners with you in all of this for your honor and glory. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read first of all from John chapter 9. Is anybody experiencing the Holy Spirit awakening in your own life, the reality of being sent by God into the world? There's this awakening that it's not just about me living my life here, but there's a real divine purpose that our Lord Jesus has sent us into this world. Because that's the theme this morning. One of the hidden or the sort of not so recognized themes of the teaching of Jesus is that the Father has sent me and I'm sending you. And that runs throughout the Gospels, where Jesus continually speaks about the authority and him here because the Father has sent him, and Jesus is here to honor and glorify the Father. And this is, I believe, what the Holy Spirit is busy sharing worldwide as we continue just focusing a little bit of what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? What does it mean to have faith in God? And these concepts that we've been looking at, these truths that we've been spending a bit of time over the past few Sundays, of just beginning to understand how to live a new creation in Christ Jesus. What does it mean that in Him we move, we live, we have our being? And so it's not just about, oh, we've got a relationship. There's far more, because there's a participation in his divine nature and how we live in the realm. And as we looked at last Sunday, as we were going through in Corinthians over there, the reality is that part of the truth of being in Christ, it's in Him that the whole operation of the Holy Spirit works. The whole operation of grace, the whole operation of revelation, the whole operation of the life of the Spirit of God is operating within the realm, within the reality of us being in Christ. And that was important for us to understand. How does this grace, how does this abundant grace operate within us? It's because we are in His grace, we are in Him. And more the Holy Spirit wants us to begin to recognize, begin to live in the consciousness of being in Christ Jesus, in His life, in the reality of His incredible life, and to live in that. And that's why when He starts to share about that, as I'm not of this world, as the Father has sent me, so I've sent you into this world, for us to be established in that place that we are in Christ Jesus. That's the starting point. That's the foundational truth for you and I to be able to be effective here in this world. And that's why we're wanting to spend a bit more time today and just focusing a little bit more on that. So here in John 9, where Jesus heals a man born blind, and as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I find that a fascinating question by his disciples. How can someone that has not yet been born sin? Who has sinned? He was born blind. Was it this man's sin, or was it his parents? That's quite a question to ask. I wonder what the understanding was in this. Did he sin in his mother's womb? See, I don't know. But Jesus says neither. Neither is this. Neither. Hi, you all. Good to see you. Oh. Yes, thank you. I battle with this rejection. So Jesus now, he starts to answer his disciples. Greg, we're just dealing with the Holy Spirit opening up more and more of the reality of us being sent by God and the focus and the purpose of that. So the disciples said, Rabbi, who sent this man or his parents that he was born blind? So quite a question. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened. Very important. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Just on a side note here, because many, many times as we're going along being sent by God, many, many times there are situations that God has brought into our lives for one purpose, so that the work of God may be glorified in that situation. It's not about their sin or their parents' sin. No, no, it's about God wants to, it's the work of God to display himself in the miracle or whatever he wants to do. And that's important. You look at Job, and you look at how his friends sharing truth, but all from the foundation of the law. This is happening to you, you're cursed. If you're obedient, you are blessed. You were blessed because you were obedient before that. Now all this is happening to you. Now look, you are under the curse of God. You've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned. Wake up, Job, you've sinned, you've sinned. And Job is saying, I haven't sinned. And that this is all because God wants to display something in his life. You see, and many times we don't understand what's taking place. But one thing we know, that it's God's at work so that he can be displayed in this given situation. And that's part of what we are speaking about this morning, of being sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. So neither this man nor his parents sin. So he removes that argument from them. Don't get into that debate. Don't try and figure it out. This happened so that the work of God, the deeds of God, might be displayed in his life. And then Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. So here again, Jesus starts to speak about he's been sent by his Father. And as long as it's day, as long as it's the time, as long as that he's here on this earth, he must do the work. But he says, we must do the work. Very important. Disciples, it's not just me, we must do the work of the one who has sent me. Very important. And then he says over here, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in this world, I am the light of the world. So the light is not only Jesus in his purity, but also he's displaying the revelation of his Father. Light displays, light has an effect so that people can see the glory of God in Christ Jesus by the works that he's busy doing. So here we have an amazing understanding, and I think, I think what Jesus has meant over here, as long as it is day, you must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And I think this is referring to the time when Jesus said to his disciples, wait here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Because Jesus left at the ascension, and there was a time when the Holy Spirit had not yet come, Christ in them, to be able to continue the mandate, the mission, the glory of the Father. And I think this could be what he's referring to, but that's just my own understanding. So night is coming when no one can work because he is the light, Jesus. While I'm in this world, I am the light of the world. And then later on, we are the light. We are the children of light. Having said this, he sat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Fascinating. Here Jesus is saying, the Father has sent me. Here I am to be able to finish the work the Father has given me to. He has a man born blind, and he says, now go to the pool sent. Fascinating. And when he went to go and wash in the pool sent, he had eyesight. And this is what God wants to help us, because many times we as a body of Christ, we don't have eyesight. We don't have clarity. We don't have understanding of why we exist. And we're confused. We battle. Because we don't know what it is to be established in the call of being sent by Jesus Christ. So we're still trying to live our own lives without the reality of being sent. Because when we are sent by him, there's a different focus. Jesus in John 3:5 speaks about, unless you're born again, you're not able to see the kingdom of God. See, when we understand, when we are living in the reality of what God has sent us, we start to be able to see the reality of his kingdom. We start to see things differently. We think differently. We have a different attitude. We have a different worldview, because we are living from the place of being sent by our Heavenly Father. Totally different lifestyle. And God wants to impart, and this is part of our prayer this morning as a family here, to be praying for the body of Christ, so that all of us will be able to not only just know we believers, but to know that the Father has commissioned us, he has sent us into this world. And as we live in that truth, our sight is clear, we're able to see and perceive and understand, and to be able to see what God wants to do, and to be involved with his works, so that he is glorified in his Son Jesus Christ through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's that kind of shift that is taking place now in our lives. So and we see here that he went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. But now, then how were your eyes opened? They demanded. And they replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where's this man? They asked. I don't know, he said. And later on we see then, Jesus meets with him, and he then has a real encounter with Christ and believes and gets saved because he could see. Have we been to the pool of Siloam yet? Have we had the creative miracle of being born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus? Have we had that mud, new creation stuck in our eyes, and went to go wash in the pool called commissioned, in the pool called as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That our eyes are opened for divine purpose, not for ourselves, but now for the glory of God. And that's the call, that's the prayer, that's what we want to pray for the body of Christ. For that awakening, that encounter, so that the body of Christ in our nation will be able to realize we don't live for ourselves. We're here to live for the glory of God. It's not about ourselves. It's no longer I who live. That's truth that we spoke about so many times. So here we have an amazing insight to this in John chapter 8. And you'll go, when you read through the Gospels, you will begin to notice how many times Jesus speaks about the Father has sent me. And then you'll see how it's sort of been hidden for quite a while. Now, in 8 verse 27, again, Jesus is speaking to the people there that are accusing him and trying to say who sent you, who gave you authority, etc. And he said to them, they did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him, even as he spoke. Many put their faith in him. In John 7, when again Jesus is speaking again about that he didn't come to speak on his own. And he goes on, he says, anybody that wants to come and speak on his own behalf is to bring glory to himself. And he says, no, the one who is sent speaks on behalf of the one who is sent, brings glory to the one who has sent them. And that's important for us who have a message of reconciliation, have a message of the gospel. We don't go and communicate on our own. We're not communicating because we want to be glorified and want people to know, wow, we know this, we know that. No. Because we know we've been sent. And then Jesus says, the one who knows that they've been sent and is communicating on what the one who sent wants to say is the, and he says over there, is a man of truth. Powerful. And that's what we're wanting to really be established in, that as we speak, we're not speaking on our own, we're not speaking in our own authority, because we know we've been sent and we're all about what the Father wants to share in His Son Jesus. And are we going to communicate that? Body of Christ, children of truth. Children of truth. And the world needs to recognize truth. And that's part of us being light in this world. So we have, I know in my own life, when God started to deal with me in this area, I thought, whoa, I've got to be careful what I say. I've got to be careful. What's my motive? Father, what do you want to share here this morning? You've sent me here. What are you wanting to share? And to be very sensitive now to what the Father wants to share so that I can be a man of truth and not just to, oh, this, I'm quite popular, right? Look at the crowd, say, yeah. No, a man of truth, a woman of truth, a child of truth. So we have that over there. Now in John chapter 3, here we, a well-known portion of scripture, but it's such a foundational truth in what Jesus has been speaking about being sent. And we know the scripture so well when we read there, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So here we see right from the very beginning, for God so loved. And again, the English translation doesn't really give us a deep understanding of here. The word for is the word, this is how, this is the motive, this is the reason for God sending his Son Jesus Christ. And this word is powerful because it speaks first of all in about the degree of his love. And then it speaks about the method, the way He has expressed this love. So we see this incredible truth of the Father in His Son. We see here that the Father is saying, the depth of my love for mankind, for all the world, the degree of my love for all of mankind is seen in the way, in the method, in my Son Jesus Christ. And now we're starting to see something about the Father and His Son reconciling the world to Himself. Now we're starting to see something about the motive of God. So when Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. All of a sudden now, we started to see the incredible depth and love in the heart of God the Father for mankind. And the way that He did manifest, the way He has demonstrated, the way He has expressed His love is in the death and the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. And that's the heartbeat of you and I being sent by God. And that's the reality, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to really begin to grow more and more into this truth of what it is to know we've been sent by God in the same way that the Father has sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world. It's no different. The same love of God. When Jesus said, I send you, it's exactly the same as the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That's pretty powerful. See, that's why when we know that we've been sent, we get rid of all the junk that consumes and trips us up. That's why He speaks about that which entangles us. Get it off. Fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of faith. So in the Wednesdays, so let me just recap. We're looking at, of recognizing the voice of God. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, the writer there writes something very profound. And he says there that in the past God spoke to the people in various ways through the prophets and you name it. In many, many ways God communicated His message to the people. But in these last days, He has spoken in His Son Jesus. So God is in His Son communicating to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So we're starting to see the Father in His Son speaking to the world about the depth of His love, but also the consequences of rejecting His Son Jesus. He's speaking to the world in His Son that His Son is the way to the Father. He's speaking to the world in His Son concerning the way of salvation. It's fascinating that the name Jesus means to take away sin. And Jesus says to the disciples and to the people there, that if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sin. See, you need Christ to take away your sin so that you die. You don't die in your sin. You die in His finished work. You die in His righteousness. You die in what He has done, who takes away the sin of the world. The Father is speaking in His Son. So that's why to be able to discern the voice of God, to be able to discern who's speaking into one's life, we have to recognize, Father, You are in Your Son and You are speaking in Your Son to us. Can we see You? Can we hear You, Father, in Your Son, Jesus Christ? Or can we hear panic? Can we hear this opinion and that opinion? So it's helping us to be able to discern, to recognize, because as the children of God, we are able to know the voice of our Father by the Spirit who testifies to our spirit, Abba Father. So it's a very important time for us to practice, and that's why the part of the practice is in your own quiet times. Just stop for a moment and say, okay, this is what I've read. Father, can I hear you speak in your Son Jesus Christ to me this morning or this evening, whatever it may be? Can I hear, recognize you speaking to me over here in your Son Jesus Christ? Not what my fear is saying, not what my circumstances are saying, not what Satan is saying, not anything else, but Father, can I hear you, recognize you speaking to me in Jesus Christ? So the more we know the reality of our Lord Jesus, the more we're able to recognize our Father speaking language, Son Jesus Christ. That's His language to you and I. That's how He communicates, by the Holy Spirit. So that's important. It'll guide us and help us to really be solid. And I would recommend anyone that your starting point will be in the Word of God. As the Spirit opens up Scripture, recognize, Father, can I recognize you here speaking to me? Okay? Let that rather be. So once you start to be established in that, and you start to know the voice, you start to recognize the Father's way of speaking in His Son to you, then it's much easier to discern if you're having a dream or the prophetic word or things like that in other ways. All the time, Father, thank you. You've established me in recognizing and hearing you speak to me in your Son Jesus through your word by the Holy Spirit. It's a safe starting place, a foundational truth to help us to be able to know and to build our lives upon the rock. Very important. So we see here then in 1 Corinthians, or let's go to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here we have a most amazing truth where Paul is writing about the commission, he's writing about their purpose, he's writing about the love of Christ. And he says here, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all those so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we're back to that in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled to Himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. What will take place as we get established in this is that we do not look at anybody from a worldly view anymore. But now as we look at people, we will see, we will know that God Himself was in His Son Jesus reconciling the world. For God so loved the world, the manner in which God, the nature of God's love, the way God has expressed His love is in His Son Jesus Christ. And that's why when you see even when you see pictures of Christ crucified, we need to see the Father and His Son reconciling. For God so loved the world, the manner, the way, the depth of His love by sending His Son Jesus Christ. And that's important, because that, when we start to look around and we start to see, but Father, you are in your Son and you're the one that did the work of reconciliation, they don't know it yet. Now all of a sudden, we don't look at that person from a worldly point of view. Now we're looking at now because our eyes are opened. We have purpose. We've been sent. See what takes place. No longer judging who sinned this or did that. No. Now, because we've been sent as Jesus was sent, now we're starting to see people from the perspective of being sent, and we see people differently. Now we start to realize, but Father, you are in your Son. On that cross, it was you in your Son reconciling the world back to yourself. The love of God, the depth, the character, the nature of the love of God is expressed, is made known, spoken in His Son, Jesus Christ. So this is a very important truth for us to meditate on. And He says over here, He is a new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. So we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, so that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. Who has sinned? The parent or that man? And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him, we might become the righteousness of God. And that, when we start to grasp that, of what it is to be in Him, and in His righteousness, there's no fear to die. Hey. We're not going to be dying in our sin. We're dying in His righteousness. What a gift of eternal life. Yo, we are privileged people. So we need to share and communicate. So there's maybe a Holy Spirit kick in the butt a bit this morning to the body of Christ for all of us to realize we're not here just to live our lives and hope to die one day and go to heaven. We're here because God has sent us. We've got reason, we've got purpose, and that is to glorify the Father. So Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done here on earth. Father, in Your Son, who's in us by the Holy Spirit, You and Your Son are in us by the Holy Spirit. Our desire is for Your glory. Our life's about Your glory. We ask that You will share with us today by the Holy Spirit what You're wanting to be up to, what's Your plans, what's the deep things on Your mind that Your Spirit will communicate to us, that we have the mind of Christ so that we can be involved to display Your glory in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Purpose. Calling. Eyesight. Understanding. Different attitude, different worldview than just living in the world. We're not. We've been sent by God. We are in Christ. That's our worldview. In Christ Jesus. So in John chapter 17, here we see Jesus praying, and He says, Father, the time has come, glorify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You. Fascinating prayer. Father, glorify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You. Fascinating prayer that. Look at chapter 14. Jesus is speaking about this oneness. And He says there at verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, that you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In the literal, again, the English doesn't bring it out correctly. In the literal, yeah, in verse 13, it says there, so that the Father may be glorified in His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. This oneness. So that we ask in the name of Jesus, because we are in Him, we ask in the name of Jesus, so that the Father is glorified in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, ask whatever you want, so that my Father is glorified in me. I've been sent, says Jesus, to do the works of the Father, so that the Father is glorified. We've been sent to do the works of the Father, so that the Father is glorified. As we come in the name of Jesus, we're living in the realm of being in Christ Jesus, so that the Father is glorified in His Son through you and I as a child of God, anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The joys of being sent. Divine commission by Jesus Christ. And then carry on in John 17, and He says over here, for you granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And so we see Jesus again, I've come to do this work, this blind man, this, so that the Father is glorified. And as long as it's daylight, we must do the work of the Father here, glorify Him. But that comes when we recognize and we come to that place, Lord, thank you, you've sent me. I'm not here for my own. I'm here because you have sent me. And that's when we start to perceive what the Father wants to do at a far greater degree of clarity than when we're so confused. So Paul puts it another way, and he says, do not be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what the incredible good will of God is. That's how Paul puts this. So I no longer think that I'm this part of this world and this is my place. No, I'm now not conformed to the mold and the pattern and the ways and the culture and tradition of the world. No. I'm in Christ Jesus. I live in the realm and the reality of Christ in His life. The operation of the Holy Spirit is operating in me because I'm in Christ Jesus. So I renew my mind to the fact that the Father has sent His Son, and as the Father has sent His Son, so Jesus, you have sent me. You've sent us. I renew my mind to this truth, and as I get into agreement with this amazing, powerful truth, all of a sudden there's this powerful work of the grace of God working, revelation and truth and powering and understanding to empower me to be able to live. 2 Peter chapter 1, that God has given us everything that we need to be able to live this godly life. No longer conformed to the culture and the tradition and the mindset of the world, but we've been transformed to who we really are in Christ Jesus. We are transformed, we are changed to who we really are inside as a born-again child of God. Different. Let's go to the pool of Siloam. Let's get our eyes washed. And it's fascinating that Jesus does this creative miracle on a Sabbath. And now they're fighting with him. How can you work on a Sabbath? And Jesus says, oh, my Father's always at work. And suddenly he just blows that religious mindset. And he says, let's go back to creation. I'm creating, using mud to create a creative miracle of eyesight on the Sabbath because my Father's always at work. The Sabbath is not the Lord. God is God. He's always at work, even on the Sabbath. We have to do His will, we have to do His work. And then we go on and Jesus says here in verse 15 or 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am not of this world. And that's very, very clear. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Therefore sanctify them by the truth. And this is what he's doing now. He's sharing truth. That's how he sets us apart. He gives us truth so that we can renew our mind to truth and therefore live in accordance to this prayer of Jesus Christ. Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, so that they too may be truly set apart. My prayer is not just for them alone, but for all those who will believe, for you and I today. In the same way that the Father sent His Son Jesus, it's the same way that Jesus has sent you and I. So see this now. See the Father in His Son saying to you and I, in His Son, because it's the Father is in His Son speaking, I've sent you. You're not of this world. I'm not taking you out of this world. I'm sending you into this world. That's the Father speaking in His Son Jesus Christ to us this morning. And this is the breakthrough. This is the struggle. This is why we need to pray a bit this morning, because the fear, the battle to surrender, the enemy coming with condemnation and saying, how can you say that you've been sent and look at this and look at that, all of that. You've got to stop and you've got to ask yourself, can I hear the Father speaking in His Son Jesus to me with all these voices that I'm hearing right now in the place of surrendering and saying, yes, Lord, you've sent me and I agree, here I am. I offer my body as a living sacrifice. It all comes together. There's nothing separated in Scripture. It's all one. And we start to be able to realize, Lord, now I begin to understand that I died with you, Jesus. Now I begin to understand that I was raised in order to live a new life. Now I begin to understand that the life I used to live was all about myself, but this new life in you, because I've died and I've been raised with you, this new life is you living in me. Totally different. And this is when we start to really, as I shared, we start to find tremendous focus in life. So we're facing all these situations, but all of a sudden we've got a different worldview. Father, you've sent me. You've sent me. And as Jesus said, just as the Father has sent me, I'm not alone. He's with me. And that's the reality. Jesus says, go, go, go. I'm with you always. I'm with you always until the end. So as we've been sent, we know that we're not alone. The Father is with us. Our Lord Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We're not alone. being sent. Father, we pray and we ask that for all of us, there is a divine moment in our lives where we meet with you in a way that we cannot deny. And we hear you saying very clear, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And this is what we ask for the body of Christ in South Africa. That there will be that divine activity of your Holy Spirit in awakening and opening up and just giving such insight to our purpose, to the reason of existence here, of being able to live in the reality that in you, Jesus, we have been sent into this world. Help us. And we want to thank you for your blood, Lord. We want to thank you for your incredible sacrifice that brought about the truth of being a new creation in you, raised, seated with you, in order to live this incredible life, to be able to bring glory to our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.